All right, I want to start here in Romans chapter 8 for this morning's message. We're going to be in Romans 8, beginning of verse number 12. Our key text will be verse number 16. Beginning of verse number 12, the Word of God says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." And again, our key text for this morning's message is verse number 16, "The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." What is important, of course, the whole book of Romans is important, but we have been adopted into the family of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are children of God. One of the big questions that gets raised quite a bit by some folks, probably because of a lack of discipleship or bad doctrine: how do I know I'm saved? How do I know that my sins are forgiven? How do I know that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? And some would say that's the sin of presumption, that anybody could dare know or suggest that they know that, or even have the confidence to know that all of their sins have been forgiven and that they have a place in heaven. But Paul spoke of this often throughout the scriptures. And Paul was bold and he had confidence in the Lord. He knew, based on the word of God that was revealed to him, that nothing shall separate him from the love of Christ. He knew that to be absent from the body was to be present with the Lord, and he knew that when he parted this earth that he would be in the presence of the Lord. So this question comes up quite a bit: how does the Spirit beareth witness with my spirit that I am a child of God? And so there are a number of things in this text that I read to you that show both before and after that there are many benefits to being saved. And one of the things that I've been harping on quite a bit in the Sunday school and during the services is that an imbalanced presentation of what salvation is being presented in many denominations and churches today. There are so many different facets to salvation. It's more than just, you know, walking an aisle, raising your hand, or repeating this 1-2-3 prayer on the back of a track. There are things that happen. You are made into a new creature in Christ. You are forgiven of all your sins. You are justified. You're sanctified. And as I pointed out here, you're adopted into the family of God. And those things that happen, and many others, of course, are realized through the work of the Spirit. There's a confidence and a knowledge that comes with genuine conversion. Now, a lot of people today think they're saved. They think that they're going to heaven, and they're trusting in their works to be saved. Maybe they think that going to church is enough to save them. Maybe they think reading their Bible or even praying or doing some charitable deeds or what have you, that this will be sufficient in and of itself. And the reality of it is, no works on the part of man can save him. And even those that teach you can lose your salvation, there's inevitably some work that they are going to insist on, a do's and don'ts list, if you will, in order to maintain salvation status with God. I'm just thankful that God does it all for me. I persevere not because of my own strength. I have none. It's all God's strength. It's His grace. It's Christ who perseveres in me. I thank God that it's the faith of Christ that I have that keeps me and gives me that hope and confidence and assurance that I am indeed a child of God. The Spirit truly does bear witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. So there are several things that are impressed upon our souls as children of God. Number one, we realize that we are a child of God, that God is no longer at enmity with us. We're no longer at odds with God. We are no longer enemies of the cross, and we're no longer God haters and Christ mockers and word haters. We are indeed a saved people acknowledging the holiness and righteousness of God, acknowledging the mercy and grace and love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and acknowledging our part as the adopted member of the greater family of God. We also realize through the Spirit that Jesus does love us. There's an acknowledgement there that Jesus loves you. And I think the closer you get to Christ, the closer that you get to understanding his life and ministry and what he did on our behalf, you'll see that love magnified even more. And then you'll see that Christ did, in fact, give himself for us, himself, not the church, not some denomination, but Christ gave himself for us. We also realize through the Spirit that all of our sins are forgiven, that there will be no sin charged to our account. We are free and clear from the guilt and shame and condemnation that is oftentimes associated with sin. We also see, number four, that we are reconciled to God. And that's why he was able to say in that chapter, we call him Abba, Father. So there's a personal aspect of that relationship between you and God that wasn't there before, and the Spirit bears witness to that. So I think it's important for us to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer and how he, the Holy Spirit, helps us to gain a better understanding of that relationship, to have more confidence in that relationship, and also to access some of those benefits that we have now that we are children of God. And so we see, number one, who beareth witness? And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. In verse 15, as I pointed out, we are adopted into the family of God, and this is evidenced by the Spirit. So we see the role of the Spirit witnesses to us. And you can check these verses. We won't turn to them in this broadcast, but go to John chapter 15, verse 26, John 16, verses 7 through 8, and then 13 through 15. These verses and the Spirit, of course, testify of Jesus Christ and his work. So, for example, the Spirit shows men their need for Christ. The Holy Spirit shows men their need for Christ. Number two, the Spirit of God convicts of sin. And then number three, the Spirit of God reveals Christ as the one true Savior of man, and as we so often pray, open the hearts of the unregenerate. So the Holy Spirit plays a very important role in the world in which we live. And think about your own conversion. Think about the guilt and shame that was associated with your conversion. As you walked up the road to Calvary, as you realized that you were a sinner, you were condemned, you were undone, you were unclean, you had no relationship with God, you had no hope whatsoever of heaven, and then the Spirit of God graciously pointed you in the direction of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who bore your sins on the cross, your shame, your guilt, the judgment and wrath that you deserved, God put on him. And you realize that through the work of the Holy Spirit. As you draw closer, you realize how horrible sin is, how wicked sin is. There's not enough of that today in the world in which we live. Far too many people now are just basically non-existent in terms of their talk and speaking out against sin. So repentance in many circles has become a really bad word. You shouldn't preach on repentance and this, that, and the other thing. But the reality of it is, in both the Old and the New Testaments, repentance is spoken of quite often by Jesus Christ himself, John the Baptist, and throughout the epistles. Repentance is a key doctrine. It's a turning away from sin. But the only way that you're going to turn away from sin is there must be some guilt associated with it. There must be some shame associated with it. You must feel the guilt of grieving the Holy Spirit of God and then turn from it. The Spirit reveals Christ as the one true Savior. Now, here's the thing. You know, there's a lot of unclean spirits in the world. There's a lot of false spirits in the world, you know, false religions and false Christs. But the Spirit of God will always direct towards the one true Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is that Spirit that opens the hearts of the unregenerate. We pray often, don't we, for the Spirit of God to move in the hearts of those that we know and love that are lost, that are condemned, that are on their way to hell. We pray toward that end, and we pray for, always pray for, a moving of the Spirit. And so these are some things to kind of consider. Now, the Spirit not only witnesses to us, but witnesses in us. And so in 1 John, we have 1 John chapter 5. We'll read it real quick here. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 10, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." That is the only way that you are going to get eternal life, and that is in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. You're not going to find eternal life in your church. You're not going to find eternal life in the baptismal tub. You're not going to find eternal life in your good works or your kind words. You will only find eternal life in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Verse number 12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." We are at peace with God now that we are saved. Before, there was only wrath and uncertainty. So we see that the Spirit of God witnesses to us, testifies of Jesus Christ and his works. You know, one of the things I think about the focus in some circles on the Holy Spirit and kind of overdoing an emphasis on the Holy Spirit, when in reality, it's the Holy Spirit that directs us to the Lord Jesus Christ, testifies of Jesus Christ, and magnifies Jesus Christ, and exalts Jesus Christ. And shouldn't we follow that example and magnify and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe we ought to. So we see the Spirit witnesses to us. We see in 1 John chapter 5, the Spirit witnesses in us. And we see Romans 8:16, the witness of the Spirit with us. So the second point here is the Spirit bears witness to what? That's the question. The answer, that we are the children of God. But the question is, in what way does he do that? I believe, number one, the Holy Spirit works in us in such a way as to identify us as his children. So the key word is witness. And a witness is called upon to clear up any doubt, maybe in a case. Well, here we have our case. We are adopted as sons, and we know that we are children of God because of what the Spirit has shown us, what the Spirit has done in us. We are converted, born again, regenerated, and what he has secured for us. So not only do we have hope in this life, but we have security, if you will, in knowing that the grave isn't going to hold us down. We know that we're not going to be condemned to the lake of fire for all eternity. We know that there is a place in heaven secured for us. So, and as such, our Spirit gives testimony that there's been a change. There's been a change in our life. And that would be the question that I would ask you. Because far too many people today make the claim that they're Christians. They say, "I am a Christian." And then when you start to dialogue about some specifics, then people start to get a little bit offended. They get a little itchy and a little edgy, and they don't want to talk about it anymore. But here's the thing. If you are truly saved, if you have been born again and you have the Spirit of God in you, then what is your attitude towards sin? Now, we see denominations and liberals and modernists today, we see them justifying all manner of immorality and godlessness and wickedness, all kinds of sin. And then they say, well, you shouldn't judge. God wouldn't judge. And, you know, they come up with all these crazy kind of lame excuses and justifications for living a life of wickedness and sin and rebellion against God. But a true child of God with the Holy Spirit in them would not tolerate that kind of lifestyle or living whatsoever. There is repentance. There's repentance. And so if you're a child of God today and you're born again and you're grieved over sin, thank the Holy Spirit for bringing that conviction into your life. And pray for God to give you the grace and the help to repent of that sin, to turn away from it and live a holy and righteous life. The Spirit in a Christian sees sin for what it is rather than justifying it. There is also within a Christian a struggle now between the Spirit and the flesh. The Spirit and the flesh. There is no more ease with sin with the true child of God. There's a loathing of sin. There's guilt over sin. There's a desire to deal with that sin and get rid of it. Paul said some interesting things here in Romans chapter 7. And just for time's sake, I'm going to begin in verse number 18. So in Romans 7, beginning in verse number 18, the Word of God says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Notice what he says here in verse 24. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Paul understood the nature of the battle. There is truly a struggle. Now, he mentions this in several other places. We're not going to read them. But in Galatians, he talks about walking in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The two are contrary one to another. He talks about putting off the old man, putting on the new man in Colossians. And there's a number of other places where this is mentioned. So here's the thing. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, now there is a war within your members. There's on the one side, a desire to do right, live holy and righteous and honor and please God. And then there's the law of the flesh, the sin, the wickedness, that draw. But the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The Spirit of God gives his adopted children confidence in the love of God towards us, his forgiveness, his mercy, and grace. So there is a spirit in a man that leads him to confidence that he is a child of God. But God bears now witness to that, and that is often seen in the fruit of our lives as Christians. And not only the fruit of our lives, that is to say the outworking, but also the testimony of our lips. And we're told to bear testimony to what Jesus Christ has done and what he can do in the life of those that are not saved and the change that can take place there as a result of the new birth or being born again or regenerated. It is okay to have confidence in Christ. That's not a bad thing. And I've seen people argue with this. You shouldn't have that kind of confidence, talking about eternal security and all that stuff. And I say, no, we ought to. And we're following the biblical model of Paul, who without a doubt had confidence in Christ. And so here's some things. We ought to have confidence in God. We ought to have confidence in God. For those that teach you can lose your salvation or get hung up on that, they don't have confidence in God's ability to keep them, to even forgive them their sins or to give them the grace to live daily for him and in his name. Their confidence is in themselves, and it's lacking. Number two, we have confidence and hope in his promises and his soon return. We're not kind of, you know, hanging out there without any anchor, without any assurance or surety. We have, through Christ, We have, through Christ, confidence and hope in his promises and his soon return. We also have confidence in the Spirit's work in us. What is the Spirit doing in us? Well, of course, there are a number of things, and I talked about those earlier, convicting us of sin, giving us the ability or the strength to be able to endure from day to day, giving us confidence, giving us hope, assurance, all of those things, and solidifying our new relationship with God. But not only that, we have confidence in the Spirit's work in us, conforming us to his glorious image. He that has begun a good work in you, my friends, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work in each of his children, and he is molding them and shaping them daily to his glorious image. And we should never take that for granted or brush that piece of it off. It's so very important. The spirit of a man longs for better. And I believe as a child of God, we long for better. We long for more. We long for heaven. We long for holiness, Christian piety. These are things that are valuable to us, and they're needful. So here are some things before I close out that happen as a result of the Spirit of God being in you. There's a love for God's word. To those that are saved, there's a love for God's word, a love that wasn't there before. Before you were saved, you had nothing but contempt for the word of God. You spoke nothing but blasphemy and hard things against the word of God and against the Son of God. But now that you're saved, you love God's word and you love what it says and the promises that it contains. There's a life of humility, putting aside pride, and relying on and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ in your life and submitting to his will for your life. There's a devotedness towards God and the things of God. That wasn't there before. You had no devotion other than your devotion to the things of this world, the lusts of this life. But God transformed you. He changed you. He made you into a new creature. And now you are devoted to God and the things of God, serving God, church, your prayer life, your time in the Bible, all very important things. And then there is a striving for holiness. Again, there's an awakening, if you will, a sense of sin and its repercussions. But with the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you strive to put that sin, to repent and turn from that sin and live a holy and righteous and godly life. You're striving for holiness. My friends, the Spirit of God is the author of our regeneration, the new birth. And as such, gives us all the witness or testimony we need to know that we are adopted sons and daughters of his. The Spirit reminds us of our place in service and in hope towards God, whereas before we only had contempt for him and his word. My friends, take care and have a good day.